What's that, hon? I didn't read the menu, sorry. All right, are we ready for God's Word this morning? I don't read menus. I like to see the photos, and the photos speak to me. How many of y'all see the photos? Oh, yeah, I was going to get my cheat meal on Friday, and I was thinking, gosh, I'm tired of the cheeseburger. So I was looking through these photos on the menu, and I came across a pulled pork sandwich, and I thought, that's got my name on it. That and a lot of carrots and celery. So that's beside the point. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to bring it into our series on Think Big and Live Big. How many of y'all have discovered by now in our two previous messages that God has called us to live a big life for Him? Amen? I mean, we serve a big God. Why not let this big God live big in and through us? Right? Paul the Apostle said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Who believes that with me that God is a big God? That Jesus is a big Jesus. And He wants to live big in and through our lives. All right? Philippians chapter 2, somewhat a familiar scripture. We're going to just jump into the middle of it in verse 14, because I want to get to the main meat of this message. And we have several other scriptures to get to. Notice verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Let's move on. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Notice carefully, among whom you shine as what in the world? As lights. Are there any different translations?
Stars.
Thank you. You shine as stars in the world. Another translation uses in the universe. You shine as stars in the world. Who believes with me that it is God's will that we let His light shine big through us? Amen? Who's ever met of a Secret Service Christian? Well, they keep everything on the down low. Oh, you know, we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about religion because blah, 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 blah. You know, if Jesus is living big in us, we will be like the apostles in Acts chapter 4 who told the Pharisees, we cannot help but speak of Him who has redeemed us. Amen? Amen. We cannot help but speak. Jesus is so alive in us that we cannot help but overflow Jesus unto others. God has called us to live an abundant life, an overflowing life. Why? The only rational reason I know that God is not just barely get by and merely or beggarly and a meager kind of God is because He wants us to splash over into other people's lives. Right? Don't you think that the Jesus that has done so much for you is worth doing something in somebody else's life? Right? So why do we keep the best thing that's ever happened to us to ourselves? We are to shine as lights. Turn with me to, Galatians, 1 Corinthians. Take a left from Philippians. You're going to pass Ephesians. You're going to pass 2 Corinthians. And go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we are to shine as lights in this world. But notice, here's an interesting thought that we're going to look at rather quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read one verse of scripture. Notice, there is one glory of the sun. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the, what? Stars. For one star differs from another star in glory or in splendor. Did you see that? Not all the stars shine brightly equally the same, do they? We don't always look up and they're all beaming at us. Do you realize that there are some stars that are shining at night that don't even exist anymore, but they are so far away, they are millions of light years away from us, that the star itself does not exist, but the light is still traveling? We're just merely seeing the shine of a star that no longer exists. Who believes with me that there are people that live their lives, have gone on to heaven, and their light still shines today, even though they're not with us here in this planet, their light still shines? Who wants to be like that? I want to be like that. Gosh, I don't want my kids, I don't want my grandkids, I don't want Cynthia saying, "Good riddance. Glad you made it to heaven, rascal." Right? I want him to say, "Man, I miss that. He was so kind. He was so sweet. You know, blah, 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 blah." Amen? Because we're letting God live big in us. But notice, not all stars shine the same. Do all Christians shine the same way? No. Not that, listen carefully, not that we're in a competition about who's going to outshine who. Listen, just live your best life for Jesus here and now. Amen? I'm not in competition with anybody else. But listen, let me give you a little factoid. In my messages, I always try to include some fact that is always educational. And this is very educational. You know, according to this scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:41, not all stars shine the same. Do you realize that there is a star? It's called a hypergiant star. The pistol star that is 100 times larger in mass than the sun. You probably know this, genius. 100 times larger in mass than the sun. And get this, 10 million times brighter than our sun. Let's show them a photo. There it is. The pistol star. Well, of course, It's like it beams off blue light, and it's in our Milky Way, the same galaxy that our solar system is in, but that is much, much, much brighter. So can we pause here and say, let's let our individual light in Jesus shine, because how many of us know that we're all different? We have different personalities, we have different skill sets, we have different gift sets, but let your uniqueness shine brightly to others. You know, I'll take Craig here. I can't shine like he shines. Sometimes he tries to dim my shine, but sorry, Pastor, I disagree with you. No, I'm teasing Craig, giving you a hard time. Some of you are laughing. Okay. Sorry, brother, I love you. But we all shine differently, church family. We all have a light to shine. Now, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Notice this one. Those who are wise will do what? Shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars for how long? Do you realize that your shine doesn't stop here on earth? It'll live on for eternity. I want to be that. Who wants to be that? Who wants to live such a big life that you shine in this age and in the age to come? Amen? I want to do that for Jesus. Right? I want to do that for Jesus. I want to shine brightly. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 60, please. You're going to take a left from 1 Corinthians 15. I love confirmations that God gives us. This verse was on one of the little gifts here up in the front pew. Notice verse 1. Isaiah the prophet, chapter 60, verse 1. It has two commands. Arise. What's the next one? shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise is commandment number one. Arise and shine. How many of us are arising? We're saying, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to let our light in Jesus shine to others. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5 that we don't put a light or a candle under a bushel? Right? We set it up on a lampstand to shine, to light the entire room. We are a city that is set on a hill. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Church family, listen, people will see the good that you do and give God glory for it. Isn't that what Jesus said? Shine your light that people may see your good deeds, your good works, and they will glorify your Father in heaven. You're not the one that receives the glory. It's not my light, baby. It's His light. Right? I want to shine brightly. Okay, in the balance of the message, I want to talk about several things that will help us to live big and shine brightly. Number one, you have to live for the cause of Christ. You know, there are many causes on planet Earth. There's UNICEF, there's Goodwill, there's the Salvation Army, there's St. Jude's. It's great. I remember running 5 years straight for St. Jude's. One year I ran all the way from Lincoln to Peoria. And that was many years ago and many pounds ago. But the cause was a good cause. But how many of y'all here would agree with me that there is no cause like the cause of Jesus Christ? John chapter 19, Jesus told Pontius, he said, for this cause I was born, that I may testify to truth. The greatest cause on earth is the cause of Jesus Christ and living for Him and living to Him and living to serve Him and serve His purposes above our own. It's been said before that the greatest thing in life is to live your life for something greater than your life. Who's found that out to be true? If I'm going to live a big life, listen, I cannot live just for me and mine. That's a very, very small life. That's a very, very stingy life. That's a very, very selfish life. I've got to live for Him. I've got to live for what makes His heart beat. What breaks His heart must break mine. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Amen? It's got to be His will primarily over my will. That's number one. Number two, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Freely you have received. You finish it off for me, church family. Freely give. The best life that you can live and live big in this life is to live one of generosity. Was Jesus generous? Is Jesus still generous? Doesn't Hebrews 13:8 say He was the same, He's the same yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever. He is generous. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 out of the Message Bible. I want you to see it. Thank you. The world of the generous gets what, church family? The world of the stingy gets smaller. Who's found that out to be true? Listen, I want my world to be big. I want for God's resources to continually flow through me to others and not me just hoard it up and just cling to it and say, well, this is mine, and you know, darn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, it's just for me and mine. And as they say in French, après moi le déluge. How many of y'all are thankful you have a bilingual or a multilingual pastor? That means After the flood, then me, or no, first me, and then the flood may come to do away with every other person. But church family, listen, we cannot live that way. We cannot live that way. We must live first for Jesus, secondly for others, and third for ourselves. It's good teaching. Anybody not resonating with this? You have to be a generous person. Freely you have received, freely give. Number three, Philippians 4, verse 4. I believe it's verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord, how often? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. I think that is one of the most underutilized qualities in Christianity. You know, Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is our what, church family? It's our strength. But yet I find so many people that are always down and never make it a point to fix their eyes on Jesus to receive the strength they need for the everyday challenges that they face just merely by being joyful. Who's on social media here that's my friend on Facebook? Who's ever seen my crazy singing videos? That to me is the joy of the Lord. Well, Pastor Joe, you were not singing spiritual songs. Well, you know, the mamas and the papas will do in a pinch, right, Brother Terry? Amen. Or I've got the rocking pneumonia and the boogie-woogie flu. Who sang that, Terry? Okay. Anyway, it's joy. The Bible says in James chapter 5, if anyone among you is happy, let him sing. Has the devil stolen your song? Well, Pastor Joe, I'm just a little more put together. I'm just a little more formal. I'm just a little more reserved. Yeah, baby, I came out of my mother's womb charging hell with the water guns. Both barrels. Let your light shine by being joyful. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Amen. Another one, church family, listen, number four, you have to learn how to overflow in gratitude. Let your heart overflow in thankfulness. Listen, I can make my life instantly today, this very minute, I can decide to upgrade my life instantly. You know, there are many things in, I've had these little apps that I download in my phone that I play baseball or I play football, and I can get lost in them for hours, but then they'll give you a little catch after your little game is over, and they said, if you upgrade for a small fee of, we can give you the full Monty, we can give you the whole enchilada, then it'll be even better. And I'm like, no, I don't want to upgrade that. But how many of y'all know that you can upgrade your life instantly just by counting your blessings? I mean, the Lord knows my heart. On any given day, at any given moment, I'll pause and I'll say, Lord, I am more blessed than I deserve to be blessed. All my bills are paid. I have the love and the respect of my lady, of my daughters, of my grandkids, of their husbands. I have the love and respect of my church family. Amen. Thank you, sweetie. I'm going to hire you as like our little prompter, like a little signs back here. Time to cheer. Let's do the wave. Ah. Over here, start the wave. Ah. And where was I? The love and respect. What else could you want? Amen. Number five, you need to learn how to guard your life against outside forces, that want to ruin your life. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 6, please. Told you we'd be looking at a lot of scripture. Let's just jump in so you can get a flavor of the context. Verse 24, to keep you from the evil woman, or verse 23, the commandment is a lamp and the law is right. Reproofs of or instruction are the way of life. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. Do not let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. An adulteress will prey upon his what?
Precious life.
Precious life. Isn't that interesting? I think the NIV says upon your very life. Who would agree with me today that there are forces outside that see something positive in your life that are attracted to, they don't know it, but they're attracted to the Jesus in you, but they think it's the you that they're attracted to. And they go about it the wrong way, and they'll say, hey, big boy, or hey, baby. Come on, somebody. Amen. I could give you many examples, but I won't. I'll give you one. Is that okay if I throw you a bone? Just for you mothers. You know, when my ex-wife was at her mother's bedside, and at that time I was a part of a running group on Facebook, and because I had run the Marine Corps Marathon in 2012, under 4 hours, do the math, 26.2 miles at that clip, that's not easy. But anyway, we had friends and we just talked. There was this one gal from Phoenix, Arizona that began to get a little forward with me, and I ended the whole deal. I said, look, this is not what I'm about. I'm happily married. I don't need this. Especially with my wife at the time sitting next to her mother's deathbed. No. And I cut that off. Why? Listen carefully. The Proverbs are true. She seeks your precious life. And man, let me inform you, and those who are tuning in, radio or YouTube, whatever means you're tuning in, listen, baby, she will lose nothing. You will lose everything. It's not worth it. She seeks, or he seeks, your precious life. Not worth it. I want to bust into TLC. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Anybody knows of TLC? You guys? We don't have. We will have a choir. That's good. The young people know. What's that song about, Dalton?
Don't lust after.
Don't lust after things. Don't go cheating around. Right? Don't go chasing waterfalls. Appreciate what you have and be happy and be content. Amen? All right, listen. And then the last one I want to give you, what is this, number 6? Dream big. Dream big. Let your imagination run wild with the Lord. Can I share just a few examples of that? I always felt, I know this might sound self-serving, and I really, really don't mean for it to. I really don't. I wish you would see my heart. I always felt like God wanted me to be have a massive platform. In fact, I've been prophesied over at my ordination. Remember that? At Bishop Dolan's church. And you know, when the Boston Marathon went down, God gave me all kinds of worldwide platforms. I was on CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Networks that broadcast all over the world. I was on a radio station in Australia that broadcasted over all of that region of the world. It just never ended. And then that was over, and I thought, well, you know, I just kept living my happy life. And I had a gentleman that had a ministry to pastors. It's kind of like the undercover boss. Except this one, he had a ministry called Undercover Church Attender. He would go to churches that would hire him to do kind of an analysis of how friendly they were, how well the service was run, how well kept the church was, the building, and et cetera. And he called me and he said, "Hey, Joe, would you be interested if we spotlighted you?" And I said, "Wow, that's an honor, sure." And he said, "Well, actually, what do you think of Pat Robertson and the 700 Club?" I'm like, "Oh, I've been there, you know, been there, done that." He said, "Well, we're going to put you on worldwide." And they rebroadcasted that particular episode. You could probably go to 700club.com and look, type in my name, and it'll give you the links and such about this. And they replayed that about 8 times over. I've learned, church family, never, never to let my God be put in a box because of my lack of faith, my doubting, or my lack of imagination. Amen? How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Help us to live big. Help us to dream wildly, Lord, because you are the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can dare to ask or even imagine. We give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.